a great series win for the Blue Jays. And, you know, it's very interesting. Even though they're 17-24, I kind of figured going into this season that this was going to be a big year for the Blue Jays. I said it many times that I thought they were the best team in the American League East this year. But I also thought things would be different this year, that they wouldn't automatically go to Tampa Bay and lose series, that they wouldn't roll over for the National League and interleague play as they've done for the most part forever. They're one of only two American League teams, period, with losing records in interleague play. And so far, those things have happened. As the Blue Jays begin the long, slow climb back to 500, they are 17-24 with this four-game win streak. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's get to the phones. Andrew is in Buffalo listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Mike. I was lucky enough to be at Ortiz's last start here with the Bison, and he was throwing well. And I was hoping with the pitching problems that maybe he'd get an opportunity to come up. I guess first question for you is, do you see any possible sort of short-term comparison between what he could do for them and what Doyle Alexander did over a much more extended period? And they wouldn't be looking for that from this guy. But when Alexander came up in 83, he was washed up too. And came up and, you know, had seen everything and, you know, was not going to be fazed by any situations. Is that something for maybe fans to hold on to as a precedent?
It's interesting. You know, I thought you were going to talk about what Doyle Alexander did for the Tigers in 1987 when they traded for him from Atlanta and he went 9-0 with that .50 ERA. But with the Blue Jays in 1983, Doyle had been picked up on waivers. Right. The New York Yankees got rid of him. They cut him. The Blue Jays picked him up. And he came and he did a very, very nice job. Nothing spectacular, but you're right. Veteran.
I actually remember Tom Cheek saying we shouldn't expect too much from this guy.
And Tom was right. You know what? How often was Tom wrong anyway? Right. But he was absolutely right. And he came and he was a real calming presence. And he, you know, 15 starts and he was 7-6. So it wasn't like he was dominating a lot or winning every time out or anything like that. But he kind of gave them what they needed that year completely out of nowhere. I don't think Ramon Ortiz is going to be here as long as Doyle Alexander was. And you got to remember, too, that Doyle was a puppy compared at the time. He was only 32, where Ortiz is going to be 40 in a couple of days. So I don't know if I would go quite that far, but it's a really interesting comparison.
Yeah, well, it's intriguing. Now, not to rain on the parade too much, the other thing with Ortiz is he's now had a lot of run support, and frankly, in his last start in Buffalo, he had a ton of run support too.
Yeah, but he didn't in his other start in the big leagues. He didn't, you know, when he was up in Boston to pitch for the Blue Jays last week, he didn't get any runs, and he still only gave up one over five innings.
Yeah. Does the fact that it's interleague take any bloom off the rose? Because it's a strange series to just have the Giants come in for two games, and it's only a two-game homestand, and then it's back out against the East and everybody else.
I hope not. It shouldn't. I mean, I guess if you're looking for a reason not to be happy, then it would. No, I'm not talking about you in particular, but no, I mean, especially when you consider how badly the Blue Jays have fared in interleague all the time. You know, there have been years where while the Red Sox were going 16-2, the Blue Jays were going 7-11. And
right. No, I'm thinking more of the Giants almost treating it as an exhibition series because it's, you know, so far out of their wheelhouse.
But well, I would hope that that doesn't happen. I would think that, if the Giants are going to treat interleague play like exhibition games, then they're going to lose 20 games in the standings that they're not
right,
going to be
able to get
by. Down
as early as they did, it was almost as though they were looking for their gate departure times.
Yeah, and maybe they were.
Yeah. Last thing before I call, going back to spring training, you and Dirk have been fantastic together in terms of the banter. There was a bit that you did in the Phillies-Blue Jays exhibition game about ornithologically challenged endangered species with owls surrounding a certain restaurant chain, and it was hilarious. That was great to hear, so thanks for that.
Well, thank you. Dirk and I have had a real blast together getting a chance to call games. He's a lot of fun to work with, and there are a lot of places you can go with him. Jack's a blast, too. different people, different senses of humor, but it's a lot of fun. Nick in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Two very quick questions. First, in terms of record, to be hopeful yet realistic, what should we look for the record at All-Star break? Second question, did they take Melky out too late tonight, given his injury?
You know, it was 10-1 after three, but I think that you don't take a guy out after three innings. I think that's a little too thumbing in the nose of your opposition. They took him out after six. That's okay. They've said that he can't hurt it worse. It's very difficult to believe that he can't hurt it worse by playing, but that's what they told us today. I think six innings is fine in that situation. And as far as where do they need to be at the All-Star break, I have no idea. And anyone who tells you they do is lying. You would like them to be over 500 by the All-Star break. That would make people feel a lot better. It would make them feel a lot better. But you don't necessarily have to be. Their task is going to be very difficult regardless. But again, and that's a crystal ball question that I honestly, any answer I give you doesn't mean a thing, because really there's nobody knows.
Is you know, within the people that you talk to, I talk to a lot of my friends about their record, and a lot of people reference 1989 when they were 12-24, and
yep.
They, you know, Jimmy Williams was replaced by Cito. Do you find in your experience that this is that type of year, or do you find this a little bit, you know, in its constitution a little bit different?
I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, we didn't know that 1989 was that type of year until the middle of September, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can look for signs. You can look for whatever you want to look for. And you'll find what you want.
Right.
But every year is different. Every team is different. While history often repeats itself, it doesn't repeat itself that directly to be able to say this is happening and this is the kind of year and this is what's going to be. I think what you need to remember, and what every Blue Jays fan needs to remember, is that every team goes through a terrible run at one point or another, and not every team goes through an 11-21 run like the Blue Jays did, and most good teams don't do it at the beginning of the season, but the Blue Jays did, and hopefully now it's over and they can get back to being the good team that we all believe they could be, even without Jose Reyes and without Josh Johnson and without Jay Happ and Ricky Romero. Which are big blows in and of themselves. But I wrote this when the Blue Jays were going from Baltimore to New York. So April 24th, anybody wants to go back and read the column I wrote on April 24th. And I'll take a look right now just to give you a couple of quick examples that, you know, in 1993, the Blue Jays were... They had a 2-12 run during the season. They had a losing month, I think, in 92. In 1987, they wound up winning 96 games, and they still had a 6-game losing streak and a 7-game losing streak and an 8-game losing streak. So every good team goes through this. In 93, like I said, they were 2-12, but they also had a 3-8 run in April. They got swept back-to-back by two teams that finished 20 games under 500, and that happened in September. So all these things that we look for signs that either they're finished or they're going to come back and win, you can find those signs in every championship team's year and in every last place team's year. You just have to kind of wait it out.
That's a great answer. Thank you, Mike.
All right. I appreciate it. And waiting it out is fun, too. The journey is part of the destination. And I understand that people want to know what's going to happen in September. But if you just take a step back and realize that nobody knows what's going to happen in September, nobody knows at all, and you just enjoy the 3.5 months between now and then, I think you might all be a little bit happier. I hope. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays take down the World Series champions, the San Francisco Giants, 11-3 for the two-game sweep of the entire homestand and their fourth straight win. More of your calls coming up as the Blue Jays talk continues. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays beat the San Francisco Giants 11-3 to sweep the two-game miniseries and, in fact, the two-game homestand. The Blue Jays have won four in a row, and they've won two straight series, win a series at home for the first time this season. All kinds of good stuff here in Blue Jays land. Let's check out what stuff is going on in other people's lands, and we see that the Seattle Mariners pasted the New York Yankees 12-2. Yankees had a position player pitching in the ninth inning. It was Alberto Gonzalez, and Vernon Wells played second base. Boston leading Tampa 9-2 in the top of the ninth inning. David Price leaving this game in the third with triceps tenderness. It's nothing-nothing Royals and Angels in the top of the second. Earlier, Houston beat Detroit 7-5. White Sox over the Twins 9-4. Texas took care of Oakland 6-2. Over in the National League right now, Cubs 6, Rockies 2. That game is in the top of the eighth inning. Jeff Samardzija's gone deep. St. Louis over the Mets 2-0 in the top of the seventh. Dodgers lead the Nationals 1-0, top of two. Earlier on, it was Arizona beating Atlanta 5-3. Pittsburgh over Milwaukee 3-1. Cincinnati shut out the Marlins 4-0. And in interleague play, San Diego beat Baltimore 8-4. Cleveland over the Philadelphia Phillies 10-4. The Blue Jays, done with interleague for a while. They are 2-0 against the National League, and they are moving back to the American League East. Their next 10 games against the Yankees, Rays, and Orioles. And our next broadcast, day after tomorrow, the Blue Jays have the off day. And then Friday, open a three-game series in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. Mark Burley against Hiroki Kuroda. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a scheduled 7:08 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Dirk Hayhurst, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. See you later.
Lynn hits a drive deep right field. It's up, up, and there she goes. A two-run home run for Adam Lynn, his third, and the Blue Jays now lead the Giants 4-1.
First inning, 4-1 Blue Jays. It was 5-1 by the time the inning was over. 10-1 after three. And the Blue Jays beat the Giants 11-3. Adam Lind with his third home run of the season and third home run in the last 9 days. He is heating up. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We welcome your phone calls all the way to the top of the hour, and let's get back to him. Dale is in Pickering. Dale, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
So I want to take you back to the bottom of the seventh. Batista strikes out and decides that he needs to, we're up 11-1, and he decides that he needs to chip at the umpire as he's walking back to the bench. I just don't understand. We're up 11-1, and you decide that you need to mouth off to the umpire all the way back to the bench. I just don't get it. Is that just me or is it everyone else?
It's not just you. I have to say I didn't notice it in the eighth inning. I did notice that in the fifth inning, when the Blue Jays were leading 10-1, Bautista took a called third strike that might have been a little bit low, and he didn't say anything and just walked away. So I didn't see it in the strikeout in the seventh. But I'm just wondering, you know, why you're calling up with something to complain about when they've just won their fourth straight and they're playing really, really well.
I just don't understand why Bautista feels like he needs, every time he strikes out, to, like, mouth back to the umpire. And it was on the screen. I'm actually watching at home, and they showed Bautista, like, mouthing stuff, and, like, obviously there's an exchange between the umpire and him, and he's, like, mouthing, like, your crap and stuff like that. Just
yeah, I'm sure he didn't say that at all.
Oh, he looked like he did. But
if
whatever.
He did, he would have been thrown out of the game.
Okay. Looks like it went in. I was trying to read his mouth, but whatever.
Okay. Well, I didn't see it, so I can't comment on it. Again, all I can tell you is that he didn't do it when he struck out looking the at-bat before. And again, it would be nice if people could kind of enjoy what's going on instead of looking for things to complain about. It would be nice. Is it so terrible? They've won 7 out of 10, 4 in a row. They've scored in double digits 3 straight games. The things that we thought were going to happen with this team are happening with this team. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Jack is in Toronto. You're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I called about a week ago, and I want to preface this by saying I was the guy that said, I think the sportscasters in Toronto need a hug because the team was not playing well. So I just want to tell you guys that when the team's playing well, they're playing well, and tonight was a phenomenal game, and the last couple games have been phenomenal. But I have two questions. One, not about tonight's game necessarily, but I do want to ask you just your baseball opinion on something. And that's...
Sure.
I watched the game, and I also watched the Yankee game and the Boston game, and it's tough to do, but I watched all three of them. And I was noticing that the umpires were calling pitches that were borderline, and they were giving them to the batters. Is that why we're getting 12-2s and 9-2s and 11-3s? And I don't want to take away from the game tonight because I think it was phenomenal with the Jays and people are hitting, but I just want to know your opinion on why these games are so high and if there's a coincidence or it's just everybody's batting well.
I think everybody's hitting well. It's just like everybody didn't hit well for the first month of the season. And you know, we knew it was going to turn around at some point or another. If it was the umpiring, wouldn't it be 11-10 as opposed to 11-3?
Yeah, maybe you're right. And I didn't look at it that way, but I looked at three games and I looked at three high scores. So maybe you're right on that.
Yeah, but it's three one-sided games for the most part, right?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that's why we call in to get your opinion on things like this. I do have one other question for you. And again, this is off topic kind of, but I want to know, what do you think the Leaf influence had to watch so many fans in Toronto cheering on a Toronto team would have on something like the Jays being away and all of a sudden they see that this city will pull through on a team that's doing well. Do you think that pumps them up a bit? Do you think that may help them gel a little better and become a better team over the last 4 days or not?
No, I really don't. I know you want me to say yes.
I kind of do.
Yeah, but I really don't, especially after all the crap they took from the fans throughout April. All the people who were writing them off, all the people who were saying how terrible they were, people calling in to fire John Gibbons and fire Alex Anthopoulos and fire Paul Beeston and get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy. I think that if you listen too much to the fans as a player, you'll go crazy. Because if you have a good game, they love you. If you have a bad game, they think you're terrible and there's no in between.
No, that's great. And again, I was wrong on two questions, and I so appreciate your answers on it, and that's why I call in. So thank you for your opinion, and that's why I listen nightly. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate your listening. And I wouldn't say that you're wrong. I mean, you ask a question, you get an answer. It's not. If you ask a question and the answer for me is no, it doesn't mean you're wrong. It means you ask a question and the answer is no. And for some reason, there seems to be this thing going on, and perhaps perpetuated a little bit by Dirk Hayhurst, who I have to say I love. But there seems to be this myth about that I disagree with everyone who calls in, no matter what they say, and it's simply not true. But if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you my opinion. And if that opinion doesn't mesh with yours, doesn't mean I'm right, you're wrong. It means you ask me what I think, and I'm telling you what I think. There's a lot of time where people call this show and ask me a question expecting me to tell them what they want to hear, and when I don't, they get all upset, which I guess that's how talk radio works. But it's interesting the way things seem to get portrayed a little bit. We've got a few calls to go, and we've got a few lines open, and one segment left of the Blue Jays talk. We'll hear from John Gibbons on the other side of this, but Andrew Nye's got a 20 update coming up. Blue Jays take down the Giants. They've won four straight. It's the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Tatis to the lead, does not go. Aaron Seabee hits a high fly ball, deep left field. Got a chance to go. It is up, and yes, sir, let's admire that one. Number 10 for JP, and the Blue Jays soar out in front 8-1 here in the second inning over San Francisco.
How about that? 10-1 after three, and the Blue Jays beat the Giants 11-3, their third straight laugher and fourth consecutive win. They have scored in double digits in each of the last three games, 10, 11, and 12, and things are finally looking up. They've won 7 of 10 as the long, slow climb back to 500 continues. The Blue Jays are now 17-24. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open. Let's get right to it. Bill, in Toronto, you're up next. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you tonight?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
Don't tell the haters, but we are just 6 games out of a wild card spot with 120 games still to go.
121, lots.
Oh, 121. And September is 90-plus days away still.
Yep. Crazy, huh?
It's crazy, and these haters don't get it. You got to have the toughest job tonight. Some guy calling you, telling you about how they can lip read Jose Bautista on the TV.
You know what? There are people who can never be happy, and that's one of the reasons they watch sports. I guess I don't know. I only have a bachelor's degree in psych, not a master's, so we'll see.
Yeah, now the cool thing about this weekend, let's say we sweep the Yankees, all 5 teams in the East are going to have 20 wins. And it's going to be a real, by the end of the weekend, all 5 teams would have 20 wins, including us, and it'll be a real good race for the rest of that year, I think.
I think it's going to be a fun race. I don't get ahead of yourself, don't set yourself up for disappointment, because the odds that they're going to sweep the Yankees are very low. Could happen. They could get swept.
Well, you never know. We got swept last week, right? All 4 games. We come back here with 3 of our good pitchers, Burle, Morrow, and Dickey. They're all remembering those games, so you never know.
It could happen. No, it's true. You never know. But I'm just saying, don't get your hopes up.
And the team is starting to finally hit the right way. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen this weekend? I think it's going to be a great weekend. And I think we can come out with the sweep. The Yankees are due for a fall soon. Boston's falling apart now. They're 2-8 in their last 10. And, you know, so a lot of the haters were saying, oh, Boston's going to win 100 games by the end of the year. It's never gonna, you know, we're never going to have a chance. But look how close it is now. It's starting to get close again.
It is. The Blue Jays still have a ways to go. I mean, they're still 4 games back of Tampa for 4th place. But, again, it's way too early to be looking at the standings and stuff. I just hope that they continue to play well. They go into New York, have a good series, play good baseball, which is what we've seen from them over the last couple of weeks as opposed to what we saw in the first month. And again, it's going to take a while. It's probably going to take a while to get back to 500. I wouldn't imagine that's going to happen by the end of next week or anything like that.
And I got one last question before I go. Do you remember what the longest winning streak last year was?
Last year? No, I don't.
Was it over five, you think? Or
I think it might have been. I remember that we were talking a lot about how they can't even put five wins in a row together and how long it had been since the Blue Jays had won five in a row. Joe Sicilia, my fantastic producer, tells me that the longest win streak the Blue Jays had last year was four games. So there you go. Same as the streak they're on right now. And they did it one, two, three, four times. They had four-game win streaks. Their longest losing streak was seven games last season. Paul is in Mississauga. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller, big fan of the show. Always appreciate your knowledge. I just got a quick question for you, then I'm going to hang up. Do you think it's fair to evaluate a pitcher like Ramon Ortiz in a game where he's been called up? I know he got the start against the Red Sox as well. He looked pretty decent, but he got no run support. But today it's a blowout. And do you think it's fair to evaluate him and even have any clue of what you really got if he has to start for a few more games? Thanks, Mike.
All right. I don't think it's fair to evaluate anybody on any one start or even any two starts. But, I mean, you can't discount today by saying that he had a 10-1 lead after three. And then also discount the next one, which, the last one, in which he gave up one run in five innings and had no run support at all. But I think the best way to evaluate Ramon Ortiz is to look at his career, because it's been an awfully long one. And for the last decade, it's been pretty unproductive. He's been a serviceable starter at best in the major leagues, though he's had some good runs. And he's having another good run right now. I don't think he's a long-term part of this team, but I do think he might be around for another few weeks, and hopefully they continue to get good starts from him. Ramon Ortiz was terrific tonight. Gave up a run on six hits over seven innings, and importantly, only walked one after, in his last start, he walked five in five innings, though one of those was intentional. We'll get to another caller in a second, but first, let's listen to what the skipper had to say. Here's John Gibbons and his evaluation of tonight's 11-3 win over the Giants.
So, Gibby, when you decided to just bump everybody up when Rajay went on the DL, this is exactly what you expected, right?
No question. Well, what else would we have done it, John? No, you know what? You know, we really are swinging the bats now. I mean, we're on a nice little roll. Even the last couple games, you know, they made a couple errors in each game that, you know, we've taken advantage of them. It's, a lot of ways, that's what was killing us early in the season. We benefited from it tonight, you know. So, but we're definitely swinging the bats right now.
John, again, you got a couple homers today, but there was, again, more diversity in terms of the hits. And, you know, Chad was talking about before the game about a little bit more of a focus on, you know, guys working with whatever the pitcher's given to them. Is that what you think is probably the most, gives you the most hope that this run is sustainable over a longer period?
Well, yeah, that's what good hitters do. You know, I think early on we were strictly thinking pull, you know, looking for the long ball. And we've changed that a little bit. Now you're using the whole field, whatever they're throwing us. I mean, you say a great hitter, I don't know what he hits, 40 home runs. Jose hits, what, 40 home runs a year? He gets, what, 500 bats? That's a lot of bats without home runs. So you still got to get a lot of hits. And if you can use the whole field, pick up RBIs that way, that's what the good ones do. But, yeah, that's made a huge difference. What I think it does, too, it keeps you on the off-speed pitch out over the plate. And it also allows you to foul off some tough pitches to stay alive. So, I mean, I think the big thing is, you know, we're still an aggressive club. We're swinging at our pitches a little bit more now too. But you know, you have to look out over the plate because that's where most of the game's pitched.
Ramon Ortiz has to be beyond any of your wildest dreams at this point. What you've gotten so far?
Yeah, he's doing a great job. He really is. What's that? 12 innings, maybe two runs. I think he's given up. Yeah, and, you know, tonight give him a nice lead. Of course, that always makes it easier. But, you know, his last two starts, you know, he probably never envisioned he was going to be in this situation where he's, you know, making some starts in the big leagues again. You know, he came up earlier in the year and he was kind of a long guy. You know, and he's at that stage of career, he probably wasn't going to get that opportunity. But, you know, now he's getting it and he's taking advantage of it.
Do you anticipate a player move in the next couple of days before you start with the Yankees?
No. Do you got any suggestions?
I have several.
What are they? That means you don't have any. No, not right now. I think you know, we can go day to day if we need something. We could do that. American League, you don't need it quite as much.
So there he is, John Gibbons. And I kind of expect a player move, too, before Friday's game. I thought that the Blue Jays might bring up another position player, maybe a Moises Sierra, kind of do that Rajay Davis type of job and move the bullpen back down to seven men from eight. They may yet do that. We'll see what happens before the game Friday. They beat the Giants tonight, 11-3 for the sweep. Back to the phones we go. Ron is in Toronto listening. Well, that's because we're only on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Ron.
Hey. I just want to quickly say I used to absolutely get frustrated with Adam Lynn and Kobe Rasmus. But Adam Lynn, I don't know what he's done with his swing. I don't know if you can tell me if he's done anything. But he's cut down on his strikeouts so much. It's so pleasant to see just him make contact with the ball and maybe have a chance of something happening. I just wanted to say I think he is, so far in this 40 games that we played, the most improved Blue Jay. As for the Jose Bautista thing, guys, I was right down by third base today. And that was one thing I was really, really curious about, was what he would do after he struck out there. He may have been talking to himself. He never got into it with the umpire. And the good thing is, if people are watching that right now, they should watch the whole picture. It seems like the whole team, it seems like a lot of the Blue Jay players have toned that down a little bit. Brett Laurie, when he first got back here, was striking out like crazy and would just go nuts on the umpire. He seems to just tone it down the last few games that I've been to. And it's pleasant to see that they're coming around. My question, though, Mike, is the lineup. I'm not sold on Jose Bautista being a number two batter. Mike, simple question is, when Reyes does come back, does everything just go the way it's supposed to go, or Reyes is at the top and everything just follows the way it is right now? And if not, why not?
No, I would expect that when Jose Reyes comes back, yeah, he'll go right in the leadoff spot. That's what he's here for. That's what he does, even as well as things are going right now. Maybe other things move around to keep Bautista hitting two and Encarnacion hitting three. John Gibbons, I think, just decided to not go with a leadoff man at all, not worry about it, and just bump everybody up. I'm pretty sure he hasn't read the latest breakdown studies that show that you want your best hitter in the batting order hitting second. It seems to be the ideal spot for him. And it seems to be working out rather well right now. But, yeah, when Reyes comes back, he'll go back to the leadoff spot. I can't remember the other questions that you... Adam Lind has been tremendous. The on-base over 400 is great to see. He has cut down on his strikeouts. More importantly, he's increased the walks. And I think for him anyway, with one comes the other. And he's been tremendous all season long, I really think. And even when the batting average was around 230, the on-base was around 380, and he was hitting the ball hard. And that was a lot of fun to see. And now those balls are finally dropping in or leaving the ballpark. Mark is in Hamilton. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing, Mike? Yeah, I just got a couple comments about what's been going on over here. I mean, I'm not a Blue Jays hater because they've been losing or anything like that, right? But I'm definitely a Blue Jays disappointer, so to speak, right? Because obviously they're a slow start. But I'm just trying to figure out something here. If you really think, after seeing these few games at the beginning of the season, that the Jays really have the best starting rotation that they can possibly have at this point, because what I'm looking at when I see these guys are a bunch of third and fourth starters on other teams, basically. And honestly, that's what I really think.
Well, who are you talking about? I mean, are you talking about Ramon Ortiz and Chad Jenkins, or are you talking about the other guys?
No, the other guys, the guys that we went out to go get on the offseason, stuff like that.
R.A. Dickey, Josh Johnson are third and fourth starters on other teams?
Johnson, I'm really disappointed about. To me, I thought, you know, he still has time to become a star next season and so forth, right? I don't know this season. You know, I think he's got some mental issues. But even Burley, I think, is a little, still a bit shaken, so to speak, right? I don't think he's got the mental ability to really pull some games out of the fire for the Jays, right?
No, why would he? 12 years in the big leagues, 200 innings every year. He's got no mental fortitude at all.
Well, I think he does for a 500 pitcher, right? I
mean, there's no such thing as a 500 pitcher, Mark.
Well, there's 50-50, right? He wins half the games and he loses half the games, right? So that's basically what he is, right?
No. I can't have this conversation. I'm sorry. I appreciate the call. No, pitchers don't control their wins. Ramon Ortiz has had pretty much the exact same start twice in a row. He won one, he lost one. Pitchers, the hitters on pitchers' teams control more often than not whether or not they win games. So 500 pitcher doesn't mean anything. I understand disappointment with the Blue Jays' start. Absolutely, I do. It's been a very disappointing start. Josh Johnson's had a terrible time. When you get into talking about pitchers or players' mental issues, I dismiss you immediately because nobody knows what these guys are thinking. And Josh Johnson is not far removed from being one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball, period. R.A. Dickey was one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball last year. These guys are not third and fourth starters on other teams. Burley, sure. Jay Happ, absolutely. But Dickey, Morrow, Johnson, zero chance. Peter in Toronto, you're going to be the last one. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. I'm just wondering, we know the Jays aren't as bad as they played the beginning of the season. At some point, we'll probably say they're not as good as they're playing either. So if general managers use the first 2 months of the season to evaluate their team, how does Alex go about evaluating this team? Does he need more time? And then my second question to that is, what will he do in July, in June and July to try to get this team ready for a playoff run? Because no one's throwing it in the towel. I think it's just as possible as any other team. But what would he look for? Is he looking for a position player, a starter, or back end in the bullpen? So just want to hear your thoughts on that.
I think they've been looking, or they've wanted to add to the bullpen pretty much all season long. And, you know, in 6 weeks they get Sergio Santos back, they hope. So that'll help a great deal. They would love to add another bat. And what do you know, in July 1st or so, they're going to get Jose Reyes back. So that adds another big bat. That's a huge trade deadline acquisition. It depends on how healthy the starting pitchers are, whether you would want to go out and bring in another big starting pitcher at a high cost. But again, who knows what things are going to be like in July? Who knows who's going to be healthy, who's going to be back, who's going to be out for the season that we don't know about yet? All kinds of things could change between now and then. So to suggest what he might be looking for, I think is beyond our capabilities at the moment. But I do think that this is a very, very good team when everybody's healthy and when everybody's performing the way they can. But every team needs a little bit of help. If you can find yourself an everyday second baseman out on the market and he's good and you can go get him, that would be great. That may be the biggest area of need as this season continues. But let's wait and see how it continues. 11-3, Blue Jays beat the Giants. Off day tomorrow, back Friday from Yankee Stadium. Thanks to Tom Young, Dan Riccio, Joe Sicilia, and all of you. We'll talk to you then.